Is it a dumb game, or am I just dumb?
What's dropping?
If you are looking for relevant gaming coverage from experts, you are not getting it on this show.
Got a boner the other day, so I decided to weigh myself because I was looking at it and I was thinking, you know, Jesus, there's no way that big of a penis doesn't add weight to this frame. You know, I'm a small guy, so I weighed in. Sure enough, 2 pounds heavier. It's a lot of dick weight. Oh shit, we're recording. Oh, fuck. Let me recover. Think, Chris. Come on. Okay. You know, Tanner, they say death comes in threes. You ever hear that?
Yeah.
Well, this week we had, that was a smooth recovery, by the way. This week we had Paul Walker, and I won't even make a too fast, too furious joke about how he lived his life a quarter mile at a time and died tragically engulfed in flames wrapped around a tree.
Mid-quarter mile.
He made it an eighth of a mile on that last lap of life.
That quarter mile came too soon!
He Tokyo drifted straight into it. We lost Nelson Mandela, a great man, a revolutionary. But I won't joke about how his long walk to freedom ultimately ended in death, regardless of his many achievements, you know, ruminating on the ultimate futility of life and what's the point of why we even live it. I don't know who you think the third death will be. Hopefully it'll be my own to get me off this fucking planet with you people. You all bother me, every one of you, fans and non-fans alike. The Taliban, you're okay, I think. I don't know if we're on the outs with you yet. But did you know that on this day, 72 years ago, the attack on Pearl Harbor occurred?
I was aware. If that question's to me, I don't know if it's to the audience.
It wasn't a hypothetical. I wanted to test your history knowledge, and you did okay. On that day, 2,402 Americans were killed, but I'd like to highlight the optimism of Private Eugene I. Ward, who kept reassuring his fellow soldiers that death only comes in threes, but he ended up having to do it 800 times. After each three guys died, he would turn to his comrades and say, "Ain't no way any more can die. It always comes in threes. That was three." Consequently, that sentence was interrupted every 8 seconds by the death of three more American GIs just exploding around him. Now,
Did the death toll end up to be divided by three? Did you check?
It was close. It was 800 point something. So there was like half a guy. He might have made it out with a few legs missing or whatever.
Yeah.
But Eugene I. Ward, he made it through.
You know, and he served, you know, a lot of people served a purpose that day, but he served the greatest purpose, which is to be that person who reminds us on Twitter or at your workplace that deaths always come in threes. Those people, you know, they always provide a very valuable service.
Yeah, it's indispensable. Yeah. Because if I didn't know that they came in three, like right now I'm worried, honestly. We've only had two deaths as far as I'm concerned in this world, which is Paul Walker and Nelson Mandela. You parse out which one you think was more important. I err on the side of Walker, but I know there's many of you out there who think Nelson Mandela did amazing things, so I won't even... Whatever. That's a debate to be had on a different show.
A very strong debate on whether Nelson Mandela accomplished anything amazing. There's two very strong sides to that debate. The racist one and the...
I'm not saying I'm pro-apartheid. I'm just saying that maybe what he did wasn't so great at all. Okay?
Maybe it was just a little bit better before.
But, fun fact, Private Ward made it through the war. And he actually served an even bigger purpose than telling people that everyone dies in threes or however that's worded. His full name was Eugene Infinity Ward. Went on to found a very successful game developer responsible for the Call of Duty series. So just thought I'd give a shout out to Private Eugene Ward. Eugene Infinity Ward.
And he was well known at Infinity Ward because every week on Monday, he'd remind everyone it's the beginning of a week. You know, it's Monday. And then on Wednesday, he'd let everyone know it was hump day. And on Friday, TGIF. And he made sure whenever anyone died, there's two more coming.
Watch it.
And then when, you know, he was always good because whenever he walked by his cube, he'd be like, oh, here comes trouble. Like, oh, Eugene.
Oh, I hate office colloquialisms, and I just can't stand it. We talk about it all the time, but it is the fact that people indulge in them. I am genuinely curious whether people enjoy saying those words or those phrases to one another, like here comes trouble, or I can't even think of another one. There's so many that are just thrown around.
You had a really good one at your workplace that I haven't heard at others. Oh, the rob Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah, that's somebody else's way of saying, you know, we're going to take away from one program and then put it into another. That's all you have to say to me. I don't need this fucking, this thing from the New Testament, I presume is where it's from. Just say it. Just say, we're taking from your program and we're putting it in another. Deal with it. Don't say, gotta rob Peter to pay Paul. Sorry.
Yeah, it's just certain workplaces, they're so insular in culture that there will be cliches that, like, that cliche is a larger cliche I've heard other places. But it occurs with far more frequency within a particular workplace because everyone gets fixated on it for whatever reason.
Yeah, exactly. I know in our office, one of the big ones is...
You mean the Super Dumb Games office?
Yeah. In the Super Dumb Games office, one of the big ones is, look out, that dickhead's on his way.
Yeah, it's just something that caught on. It's always, what, intern Bill?
Yeah, but usually it happens when I'm alone and I see someone coming and I'm like, fuck, they're going to bother me. Look out, that dickhead's coming. It's usually just said under my breath really quickly.
The Super Dumb Games offices are really cool because we got ping pong tables.
Ooh.
Yeah, we got like neon signs of stuff like play and fun.
One of them says, sobriety sucks.
Yeah, and then like in the fridge, there's energy drinks.
Just filled to the brim with monster drinks.
You know what's really cool too is in like everyone has a Nerf gun.
Mm-hmm.
So like... Every now and then someone will bang a gong and everyone will be like, get your Nerf guns out. We all shoot each other. It's crazy.
My newest thing is that I'm on a pogo stick most of the
day. Yeah, you're like the cool guy in the office right now. You have like, a mohawk and a pogo stick.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I actually know someone who works in an office like that. And in some ways, I'm very jealous that they have all of those things. I heard her talking about it. And I was like, Jesus, you know what we do at 2:30? I get the fuck out of there. I'm done.
We think about death.
And yeah. I'm trying to figure out if I can have my car wrap around a telephone pole, Paul Walker style, on the drive home just to end this insufferable life.
At 2:30, I stare into the beige void of my cubicle. And try to, like, crazy up my day by, you know, maybe opening up a particularly interesting spreadsheet. And
boy, oh boy, 9 minutes into the show, and this is a real laugh riot, eh?
The yucks keep coming.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tanner, I'll let you say it this week. We're on episode 13. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Baker's Dozen.
Oh, fuck!
That was your chance, dude.
I screwed it up last week.
Man.
Shit.
This is the Baker's Dozen episode. We're baking for you some hot turds of video games. The smell is atrocious. So this week, again, I didn't really play anything bad. I was playing Payday 2, which is a fun game. I played a lot of pinball. I can't get enough of it. But Tanner, you live streamed this week and you started what is now a new segment.
Yeah, so we started the Forgive or Forget broadcasts last night. You can check the archive of the stream at twitch.tv/superdumbgames. Played some Sonic 2, ended the night playing some Rayman Origins. You'll be playing Metal Gear Solid 3 eventually.
That's right.
And I think, you know, what we'll do is some kind of Google Hangout that we record and share where we drill a bit further into the games and really decide where we've placed our judgment. I'm still on the fence with Sonic 2. I want to play some more. I think I'm going to play Sonic CD and maybe Sonic 1 to really get a full picture of that series.
I I'd like to bring one thing up, and it's said at the top of every show in the actual theme song to our show, where I say, is it a dumb game or am I just dumb? And last night I said that in chat because you guys weren't playing Sonic 2 right. You guys kept fucking it up. And I kept thinking, it's not a dumb game. They're just dumb.
Yeah, we clearly, it was not clicking for either of us. But when we got to the pinball level, I felt like our moods changed. Like there was, the first level was pretty lame. The second level was fucking awful. It was a water level that just like almost, it took everything that you'd want out of a Sonic game and removed it.
Yes, yeah, slow moving.
And then the third level was a pinball game, and that felt really cool because it had a larger margin of error and was interesting, I felt. But I also played Far Cry 3, and more importantly, I stopped playing it. I got so pissed off that, and I've been doing this now, like since I turned like 25-ish, I started having a low tolerance for shit with games. And I've done this multiple times where I'll get to a point in a game and I'll be like, nope, I'm not having fun. I don't want to do this anymore. And what I'll do is I'll instantly go to the console, eject it, put it in the case, and put it away.
It's done. It's on the shelf, forever collecting dust.
Yes. And like that, it's a ritual I have where I don't put myself through the pain of a game. I'll say, okay, it's in this, it's put away. It's over. I can cleanse myself of it.
It's like your own personal Dewey Decimal System card catalog of games. Like you filed it away under unplayable.
And that game is fucking dumb. Like there were two separate occasions before the point that I got to where there were missions that I felt were just anti-fun. They were just stupid. Like at one point you come back after a big intense event and you have no weapons, and then you have to stealth through this place to get your weapons, and I kept dying because I kept getting seen, and I'm like, ah. And then finally I was just ran through and took all this damage and just got to the point where I had to get the weapons and got them, and it checkpointed, then I instantly died. And that wasn't the way you're supposed to play the level at all. And then the time I quit was another forced stealth encounter where I had to stealth through this long cavernous area, and I could not do it. I just couldn't do it. And there was no other way to solve this but to stealth. And I said, this is the point, the entire point of that game. The only reason why you play a Far Cry game is because you can do things multiple ways. And then they on multiple occasions, set you up so you can't do that.
Well, when I'm thinking about Far Cry 3, and I'm not saying that these two games should be lumped together, but I think about how Uncharted and Uncharted 2, more specifically because I played Uncharted 2, how that game, it holds your hand going through it. You can die, but you never feel like it's going to be insurmountable odds against you. So you know you're going to beat the game. You're going through it for the storyline. I felt like just watching you play Far Cry 3, they should have just let you progress. I didn't understand why make it such an obstacle to get through a level the way that they did.
Yeah, it's terrible. And like, not only, so it fails on the level of just pure level design, but then the story is so atrocious. Like I mentioned on the last podcast how they set up this possible parody of whiteness and everything, and then that is not it at all. It falls into itself and becomes the very thing you hoped it was parodying. And it becomes the most traditional racist fucking story about this white dude in some pan-brown islander culture who's getting tattoos and having sex with native women. And there's this mixture of accents and cultures and everyone like, you're the white savior.
Oh, jeez.
It is unbelievably offensive and stupid. Oh my, I can't believe it's 2013 and I'm playing this. We haven't gotten past, who wrote this thing? Like, have you existed in the same world as ever? How do you grow up and not realize you're a fucking white moron. And I'm looking it up right now. Apparently, it's this guy. It is a white dude who wrote it.
Of course.
Jeffrey Yahalim. And I guess he's defended his depiction of race pretty vehemently here.
The fact that he's had to defend that is indicative of the fact that it exists. People take note of these things. What's his name? Jeffrey
Yahalim. I guess he's also trying to argue that he sees this game as trying to destabilize racial stereotypes and stuff.
What? I don't even understand what he means by that. What he's doing is totally playing into racial stereotypes. How is that shaking up the foundation of how we think of race? You just pointed out to me exactly how we've thought of race for centuries.
I'm parsing this really quickly, but this guy thinks it's really smart that, like, what the game's trying to do is put you in the position of doing all these horrendous things, you know, and in part being manipulated by this larger... Yeah, that's been done a million times before. I get that. The problem is that doesn't, just because you're trying to make this commentary about a player being complicit with a certain horror, it doesn't undermine or take over the fact that you're still constructing damaging representations of non-white people.
Right.
Like, you've got to destabilize that in some way, and this game does that not in any measure at all. So, Far Cry 3, fuck it all.
Wow. Yeah. Well, any alibis before we end this segment? That's office talk for you. Segment 2 coming up.
We've got our first holiday-themed What's Droppin'? The Holiday Express, December 4th, 2013. That was last week.
We're always on top of these things.
Platform PC. That stands for personal computer. The developer, one of our favorites, fan favorite developer, railsimulator.com. They don't even have, they don't have a name, they have a web address.
Yeah, they're a domain.
This one, the Holiday Express, starts with a little poem. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care. A train shot by as fast as a fucking hare. Get yourself the Richie Rails Electric Holiday Express on Steam. Hop on it.
Oh,
this
God.
Sucker is hot. It's 85% off right now. You throw down $2.99, this thing is yours.
Can I just get it for free? It sounds like it sounds so dumb. And what intern was forced to write that bullshit? Like, they basically ripped off the entire poem and had to figure out a last line. Yeah.
Everything you need to enjoy a nostalgic Christmas journey is included in the box. There's no box. Complete a series of seasonal missions or just explore and enjoy the ride. A word of advice, watch out for the mouse hole.
Are you a toy train?
Yes!
Oh, okay. I'm trying to think, like, you're going through the Alps and all of a sudden there's, like, a fucking gigantic mouse? Like,
a winter storm has scattered the presents and decorations around the house, and they face a race against time to find them before Christmas Day arrives. You are their only hope! Can you work out? I love this line. Can you work out how to drive the train around the model railway that runs around the house and find all the missing items? Can you press a button?
Throttle up, add coal to the furnace.
Can you possibly figure out this impenetrable challenge? It's for a toy designed for five-year-olds?
Yeah. Does it look like it's made out of, like, wood blocks, the train?
No, it's like an electric one, I think. So it's more of like a Lionel style.
Remember when we were kids getting a... We might have talked about this on this podcast. I don't even know. Or maybe I'm just remembering us having this discussion in person. But that was, like, the sign of wealth to me. If you got a toy train for...
A train set?
Yeah. Toy trains just didn't exist in my world. You got like, a Gumby figurine.
Yeah.
And that was about it.
Top sizzlers, top stories, play taps, because we've got Fuck Nelson Mandela, two giants.
All of South Africa just let out a war cry. But go on.
Two far more important figures in the world have passed on. The first... being
Toe Jam and Earl?
No, bit larger. 1980s. I love this headline because they don't even list the person's name because unlike Nelson Mandela, no one would recognize it. 1980s Luigi actor dies at 72.
Oh, who was he?
Canadian actor Danny Wells, best known among gamers. I'm reading this off Kotaku. Best known among gamers is the man who played Luigi on the late 80s show, the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, has died at age 72.
Joins Captain Lou in that great Princess Peach plunge in the sky.
I remember the day that show debuted. I was in the hospital with severe stomach pain and wondering if I would be able to make it home in time to see the show.
It was an event.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, for us kids, it was we were bringing to life, you know, one of the most iconic games of that time, and of course now we realize of all time. And I mean we gathered around because that was, I think it was also featured on one of those, remember when they would do those previews for what's new this season on Saturday mornings or whatever it was, or on afternoons after this show?
Yeah.
And that was a preview show that they were like, check this shit out, kids, get ready, we've got live Mario coming up.
I remember it baffling me too. I just didn't understand it made zero sense to me.
Wow. Pour one out for Captain Lou and pour one out for what's this guy's name? Who was he?
I've already closed this. Oh, Danny Wells.
Danny Wells.
Now, okay. The second death is a bit more complicated. So the original story, and this connects with me playing Sonic. The original story that ran across a lot of different gaming websites was American actor Christopher Evan Welch, best known amongst older gamers for playing Tails in Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, which I guess was a cartoon.
Yeah, that starred Jaleel White.
Yes, so he passed away December 2nd in Los Angeles at the age of 48. That was the original story, but there's more to it.
Uh-oh.
So Sega Bits' Barry the Nomad dug into this and uncovered, apparently... That guy, there's two Christopher Welches.
Okay.
And that Christopher Welch, well, let me start reading the story. This is a long ass story. Let's see how much I can get through. But there was some fucking investigative reporting going into that maybe the actor from Tails didn't not just die, but we don't even know who or where this guy is.
Oh my God.
Okay. So since the news, and then I'm reading this Barry the Nomad off Sega Bits. Since the news broke that the voice actor for Tails and Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog had passed away, 90s era Sonic fans such as myself were heartbroken to learn that we lost another actor from the iconic show. However, as I spoke with Sonic fans in various forums and instant message conversation, several red flags went up regarding Christopher Evan Welch's participation in the cartoon series. For starters, there was the age. Christopher Evan Welch was 48 at the time of his passing, which means he was 28 in 93. Several sources back this age up, including friends and family on Chris's Facebook memorial page, comments on Variety.com's story, and a photo on the Seattle Times, which shows Christopher Evan Welch in 1993. He was definitely not an 11-year-old, which I believe people thought the voice actor for Tails was at the time. In the early 90s, Christopher Evan Welch was an up-and-coming Seattle stage actor. According to the Seattle Times, Christopher made his professional debut in 91, starring in The Illusion at ACT Theater. During 92 and 93, when Adventures of Sonic Hedgehog was in the midst of production, Christopher Evan Welch was performing major roles at Shakespeare festivals, and he worked at the Seattle Repertory Theater, appearing in the plays She Stoops to Conquer, Buying Time, and Harvey. Suffice to say, Christopher Evan Welch was a very talented and busy man between 91 and 93, the times that the cartoon aired. The Seattle Times story never mentions a 26 to 28-year-old Christopher taking a break from his busy acting career to voice that character. So the plot thickens here.
Right. I'm tracking.
In 2010, a 45-year-old Christopher Evan Welch was interviewed, going simply from the voice, there is nothing there, this is an audio interview, that says this man can execute a pitch-perfect 11-year-old voice.
Okay.
At best, I, this is the dumbest shit. I love that this person is going so in-depth trying to figure out if this guy who died was this Christopher
Welch.
He's
an imposter.
At best, Christopher Evan Welch's voice in 93 would be a bit higher pitched, but still very much the voice of a man. Speaking of interviews, from my research, there is no interview available which has Christopher Evan Welch mentioning or referring to Tails. Granted, he was never asked about it, but he also never spoke of the role. Even vintage articles do not mention the cartoon series. The only time Christopher Evan Welch and Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog have been mentioned in the same place are on IMDb and on Sega and Sonic fan wikis, which surely got the information from IMDb. So everyone's connecting this guy's death with Tails by IMDb, but this guy's saying that this is the only place. Are you tracking?
Yes.
All right.
Is there more?
Yes.
Okay.
So here's the theory. Christopher Evan Welch and the Christopher Welch credited as the voice of Tails are two different people. One, Christopher Evan Welch is an esteemed stage actor with an impressive career that began in Seattle in the early 90s and moved to New York City in the late 90s. From there, Christopher Evan Welch, blah, 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 blah. Christopher Welch, meanwhile, was around the age of 11 in 93. He's either from around Burbank, California or Vancouver. He landed the role of Tails and recorded the voice in either 92 or 93, received his paycheck, and got the fuck out of acting!
That's what IMDb supports. I'm on it right now.
Like many child actors who had a few roles, he has since left acting and doing something else entirely. So then what happened was this Christopher Evan Welch dies, and people make this connection saying, well, this has to be the guy that voiced Tails, but he is not! Will the real Christopher Welch make yourself known? Inquiring minds want to know.
I love that whole story exists just to say, they may have misreported that the Christopher Evan Welch that has passed away was the voice of Tails. There could actually be another Christopher Welch out there, and we accidentally made a misprint. That's all they had to say.
That's what I love. I love this guy just geeking. You know, this guy's a Sega super fan. He's just geeking out on this, trying to, like, be... He's playing, like, who is the detective in Zodiac? Was it,
Mark Ruffalo?
Yeah, he's, like, trying to piece this shit together, you know? Like, he's, like, look, he's doing research.
He's got a whole pinboard, you know, with strings attached showing where the last sighting was on a map.
I imagine this news story comes across his RSS feed or whatever, and Barry the Nomad's like in his mind, he's like, it's go time. He flips the Oculus Rift off his head, you know, like removes the thing from his penis, you know, it comes off. He's like, all right, this is my calling.
But those Sonic fans are some of the most rabid. I mean, the fan fiction behind Sonic, you'll come to learn, is some of the most profound works of literature that you'll ever read. But let's get beyond this story. I'm sick of this Christopher Evan Welch guy. He's dead. Get out of my face.
All right, so last top sizzler here. Time magazine has released their top 10 games of 2013.
Oh boy, are you gonna quiz me?
What do you think is on that top 10 list? Do you even know a game that came out in 2013?
No. I don't think have I bought any new games? That's
what were the big games of this year, do you think? And this is kind of funny because I think you, like me, I play games like a year late.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so for instance, here's one that I would imagine is on the list, and I have yet to play. I haven't even redeemed the code because I don't even know. I got it when I made my PC, and it came with two free games. Like, you have to scratch off a code like you're scratching off a lotto ticket. And I never got around to doing that because I'm just not ready to play it. And that was Bioshock Infinite.
Yes, so that is on the list. It is number 8.
Okay. Grand Theft Auto 5, because that just came out, right?
Yep, that is their number 1.
Okay. I'm going to draw blanks on it because I know there's games people talk about, and I've probably even played a game on this list if it's like...
You have.
Oh, shit. Okay.
You've played... I believe you played one game out of this top 10.
Hang on, let me look at my... none of these came out this year, except for Rust, which is a beta. There's no way they would do that.
no.
And Gone Home. That's the only other one.
Gone Home is number 4.
Okay. All right. I mean, okay. What's the other one that people like to play? I think it's about zombies. I don't know.
That's a good guess, but I don't think there's any zombie games on here. So the rest of the list, number 10, Skylanders.
I don't know what that is.
Which is a weird choice, but I guess they're trying to appeal to a big demographic.
What system is that for? I don't even know what that is.
I think it's for everything.
Oh, okay.
Number 9, Far Cry 3, Blood Dragon, not the original Far Cry 3.
Yeah, I don't know.
Then Bioshock, Pikmin, Last of Us, which I think for a lot of people is going to be, from what I'm hearing, I haven't played it yet, but is going to be probably the game of the year.
I think that's the game I was thinking about. Doesn't that have zombies in it?
Wait, are there? It's just a survival story. I guess there are, yeah, there are zombies, I guess.
Because it was either, I was thinking that, or what's that other one, like... War Z or one of those dumb games. But I think that one was
that was a movie.
No, there was World War Z, but then there was something called the War Z, which is something. It was, who gives a shit? I think it turned out to be a bust.
I am so sick of zombies, man.
It's over. Although the Walking Dead video games are actually really fun interactive games to play. Honestly, I don't care much for the franchise or the TV series, but the video games are actually a bit more rewarding. They don't bog you down.
Yeah, I mean, they're good games. It's just I'm not interested in zombies, but I'm gonna play Last of Us. Animal Crossing, Gone Home, Pokemon,
ah, for Christ's sake,
Assassin's Creed, GTA.
So of those, you named 3 games that I think are Nintendo specific. You said Pikmin, I don't know what number, but that one.
Yeah, Animal Crossing.
And Pokemon. Those are going to be on every list, I think, forever, it seems. No matter what.
But this list leaves off Zelda and Mario, which I think a lot of people would say are far better than those 3 games. I don't know. This seems like a crappy list. I just was interested to see what Time's... Because I don't think Time knows anything about games. So.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see. Like, they're kind of more gauging, I think, interest.
Yeah, like, this is what was purchased, not necessarily what was good.
Hot off the wire, your top stories from the PR Newswire... Turn-based dating game, Charade Date, gaining popularity among singles.
What?
So this is a new app/game that's been released called Charade Date. What I've been able to gather is you get this app, you set up a little profile... And, you know, like any other dating, whatever, you search for people, but then instead of like messaging or winking or whatever the hell, you initiate a game with them and you get prompts you select from or whatever, and you record yourself doing charades and I guess send that to the other person.
Wait, you send like a YouTube video of yourself essentially through this game. And the other person watches you act like a buffoon?
I believe so, from what I can gather from the website and everything. So, like, you get a selection, act it out, pick a charade to act out. You get your choices. 50 Shades of Grey, they spelled gray wrong, by the way. Climbing Stairs, Doing the Vogue, and Hercules. And you have to, like, choose one, and then I believe you record yourself an 8-second video of yourself doing that, and then the other person gets the video... And has to type in, like, it's like Hangman almost. They have to type in what it is.
That is so dumb. Because all I'd be doing is, like, the universal gesture for jacking off for everything.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of penis on this.
It sounds so...
There's going to be a lot of penises dressed up as various characters from 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, it's so stupid. And honestly, all it's doing is perpetuating that whole bullshit thing that's out there. About dating where, like, you have to perform for the person that you're courting. Instead of being a real person, you have to do this And of course, you're always, I understand that performing is a component of the courting ritual, but this is taking it to absurd levels where people want, like, I want a wacky guy. I mean, look, he's got no inhibitions and stuff like that. Guess what? I have inhibitions. I'm not going to do this for you. I'm not going to be a monkey and do this shit for you.
It's exactly that thing, like, you know, people, I want a person with a sense of humor. And then this is what equates to a sense of humor to people.
This isn't funny. It's, I mean, the funniest thing would be is if you received, you know, a video of a guy stroking the air as though it was a cock. That would be hilarious to me. I'd be like, look at this guy. This guy knows what he's doing. But
while eating like some church's chicken slowly.
Yeah. Like, that to me would be more endearing than a guy who's actually screaming for help inside, but you know, but he's...
or let's just take the stroking out of it. I just want to fire up my charade date, and I want to be like wide angle on a guy or girl or woman at a table, just eating a platter of church's chicken. Like you got your mashed potatoes, your whatevers, and just that's it. Like for 8 seconds, you're just in that moment, and meanwhile the prompt is like, you know, Lady Gaga or something.
it's just setting people up for failure because you know there's going to be guys who are going to go way over the top. They're going to like ride in on horseback, buck the horse up, and then ride off. And they'll be like, "That's me," you know. It's going to become stupid. Not to mention, most of these people who are going to be playing this game are going to be really ugly. So
just play the odds there. I mean, that, ladies and gentlemen, that is your news.
Onward with the final segment. This will be a time trial this week, and the reason why we chose a time trial is because we didn't have any better ideas. We didn't even think this through going into this podcast. This is how disorganized we are as presenters, so I apologize for that, but that's the format you deal with, and fuck off if you don't want to listen to the rest of this. But it's going to be a good time trial because this week we're going to talk about...
Wait! Got to get 10 minutes on the clock, right?
Right, well, I'll put 10 minutes. Listen, I know how to operate this segment. I've been hosting this for a baker's dozen, okay?
You're a veteran.
Before we put those...
Don't tell me how to run my show!
All right, put 10 seconds, 10 minutes, 10, whatever, 10 minutes times 10 seconds, whatever. Put 10 minutes on the clock.
10 times 10. Put an exponent of 3.
Factoring.
Calculus.
Mathematics.
Protractors.
Cosine and tangent. These are things I once knew.
Did I ever tell you that when I took the GRE on the math section, the second time I took the GRE on the math section, do you remember the movie Who's the Man with Dr. Dre and Ed Lover?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where they're like, it's a buddy cop comedy with two black dudes.
Yes, I remember.
And they take a police academy exam.
Uh-huh.
And the way they take the exam is they do abacadabra.
Okay.
Down the exam and they pass.
Is that what you
did? Yeah, for the GRE, for the math section, the second time I took it, I just did abacadabra.
Do you remember how well you did?
Horribly.
Yeah, because I tanked that section. Everything else was like top notch. I might as well have been going to an Ivy League school.
Yeah, and then there's this one score that's just awful.
It totally put me in the trenches. No school wanted to touch me after that. They're like, this kid doesn't even know basic arithmetic, clearly. Oh boy, 10 minutes on the clock. This week we're going to be talking about games that we played with friends on the couch. We had a better way of phrasing that when we were going into this.
Couch
gaming. Tanner, do you have any specific... Because I'm going to start this off. I have a very specific memory of a fucking awesome game that we used to play on the couch, and we would have, it would be me and George and Eric and my brother, and we would fucking fire up Tecmo Super Bowl. We would play an entire season. Each of us would pick a team. We would play an entire season, and when it wasn't your turn, you'd go play crossbows and catapults on the carpet of the basement. And then when your turn came up, you'd cycle through.
You'd be in the bullpen.
That's right. You're on deck, just waiting to go. Meanwhile, you're playing crossbows and catapults. One of the greatest of games of all time. I don't know if you've ever played that game, but it was, you played it on the carpet. You had crossbows, catapults. You tried to shoot the other guy. It was fucking awesome. Anyway,
we did an equivalent of that in I think freshman year of college, where we all had a season in Madden, but we did it extended over like an entire semester.
Mm-hmm.
And we, everyone would know their schedule, and we had the system in our room. So people would play their computer games, and then we'd wait for our teams to come up on the schedule, and then we'd play each other. It was always fucking intense.
Yeah. It was some of the best memories. And, Tecmo Super Bowl is, I think, I don't know, top five sports games ever created. It's easily. Yeah. So you'd get, everyone would pick their favorite team. There's usually a fight over who gets to be San Francisco or Buffalo or one of those teams that had one of the great running backs of all time, or Jerry Rice as a wide receiver. But the best, like some of the most fun times during that was the downtime in between when you were waiting for your turn and watching somebody else beef their season up.
Yeah, yeah. I think for me, what we used to do is we'd go out in the woods, we'd put a nudie mag down, and we'd just all stand over and stroke.
while standing in broken glass.
Yeah.
Because the woods always had nudie mags and broken glass in them. Like some drunk escaped out there, smashed the bottle after he was finished.
And just circles of dudes stroking it.
Yeah. Staring each other intently in the eyes.
For me, there were a few big games that to me were defined by couch play. Mario Kart, which I played every morning with my friend Mike before school.
Is Mike dead? I don't know who he is.
Not to my knowledge.
I don't know who he is, so I'm just curious.
It would be a better story if he was. That, Street Fighter II, huge couch game.
Yes.
And one of my friends actually gave me lice while playing Street Fighter 2 because we were both leaning our heads up against my bed.
Yeah.
And we were going to go to a WWF match at, I think it was Kobo, maybe.
Nice.
And prior to that, we were playing Street Fighter 2, both leaning our heads back. That following morning or whatever, his mom called up. My mom's like, yeah, he's got lice, so you better check. Checked, bam, lice.
Do you remember getting those checks in school too? And why did they quit checking? They, like, at some age you'd stop being susceptible to lice, I guess. I don't know. But they would take like toothpicks and parse through your scalp and part your hair. And then they'd also check for scoliosis.
That to me was more intense because that felt way more invasive because you had to like line up and take your shirt off. Like it was like you were being deloused before going into a concentration camp.
Every time they checked me for scoliosis, I always pulled the move where I would, whatever side I was profiled to, if I was profiled to them, and
I know exactly what you're gonna say.
I'd put my right arm in my shirt, and then when I bent over, my elbow would cock up, and it would look like my spine was protruding from my back crazily. And it was always a huge laugh. Everybody laughed. They said, "Oh yes, Chris, you are the best. You are funny."
Or kids would do that thing where they put their hand in their shirt and then grab the empty sleeve with their other hand and pump it.
Yeah, pump it like they're like an alien was coming out.
But after every round of scoliosis testing, I would obsess over if I had scoliosis or not. Like, it gave me like a condition.
Why is it though? I guess as you're developing, scoliosis can just sort of... Why are we talking about scoliosis? Oh my god.
10 minutes on the clock.
The time's ticking. I played a game with our friend Casey often at his house. It wasn't a good game either, but for some reason we found some kind of solace in playing it, and it was the game for the PC, You Don't Know Jack, which is just...
No, that's supposedly a very good game. It's well-regarded.
I remember it being fun, but I can't imagine I would have any fun playing it today. There'd be a clock that would tick down, and you know, you'd have to try to... You'd try to, you know, play the game against one another and get answers before each other. And then he would laugh at you if you got it wrong. There was, like, color commentary going on. It was a really interesting game, and we thought it was funny. I don't know. We always got a kick out of that one.
The best couch gaming that I've ever played was GoldenEye, and I think for a lot of people that's the big touchstone.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost ushered out... You know, there was GoldenEye, then Halo, then kind of couch gaming went away.
Yeah.
And Guild and I were the halcyon days of gaming because I had nothing to do. Me and three other friends every day for a period of time after school would head to a certain friend's house and would just play GoldenEye for hours every single day. And it really spoke to what was great about couch gaming in that there's a different aura when you share a space with people.
Mm-hmm.
That there's what's happening on the screen, but what's more important is what's happening in the room. Where when you think about when you've played multiplayer over LAN or the internet or whatever, that what ends up happening is all the action is contained on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas couch gaming, there's funny shit happening in your interplay with each other.
Which is why LAN parties are the way to go if you're going to play multiplayer games, and if you have the means to do it, if you can bring your rig over, because then as stuff's happening on screen, the excitement builds out into the room itself. I mean, it makes the whole experience that much more immersive.
I mean, there were like consistent jokes we had formed. Mm-hmm. And references. There was a whole series of inside jokes and expectations. Like if a person picked a certain character, there was something known about that. We'd make fun out of them for it.
Didn't you guys create like an entire subgenre of play style, like Gangsta GoldenEye, where you had...
Yeah, we had... I had completely forgotten about that, in fact. Yeah, we created a different rule set for the game that... Eric, I'm sure, is listening. You should write in and describe the rules of Gangsta GoldenEye, because I don't remember it. But we had a whole meta game that we were playing.
Yeah, that's incredible. I'm trying to think if there was ever a game that happened within the immediate circle of people that I would play games with. But I don't know. And it's a good thing I don't know, because we are at time.
Oh!
That's it.
That was... Scoliosis!
Took up
this, the scoliosis discussion is over, ladies and gentlemen.
Please, I can't believe that we wasted all of that time.
That's what time trials are about. Though.
That's
it's
right.
Just following trains of thought.
Well, boy, oh boy, I would have liked to have talked about how you and I gamed together. If you remember, we did a whole test to see, we had a control group where we played Toe Jam and Earl and some other game, I think, and then we would put on Pump You Up songs.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And that became like a whole evening's worth, and we wrote down our statistics. Did we get farther in the game when, you know, we heard, what were the songs? It was like...
The Winner Takes It All by Sammy Hagar. Yep. Was one of them.
There was also, not Peter Cetera, what's his name?
Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, there was it Joey Scarberry's Greatest American Hero theme? Was that on there too? I can't remember. Joe Bean Esposito? That's what it was. You're the Best from The Karate Kid.
Yeah, we need to figure out a way to do that again.
Yeah, because I think it yielded interesting results. I think that The Karate Kid theme came out. The song is You're the Best. Because you're the best! Psh, around! Psh,
yeah.
That song, I think, pumped us up more. I'd have to dig through the archives of our old website that we ran. Man, that was a good time.
That was back before we had lost all hope.
Yeah, we were just...
Footloose and fancy free.
Yeah, just young cherubs with nice butt cheeks. Now mine's all pockmarked and hairy, and nobody wants to look at that mess. At least I don't have scoliosis, I suppose. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is episode 13.
One for the books!
Mark it!
What an episode, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. You know, everybody, be sure to check out the Twitch stream. There's a lot of good stuff. Last night it got bogged down in some heavy, heavy philosophical shit around the 2 a.m. hour for me out here, Eastern Standard
Time. Oh, yeah, that stream took a turn at the end where we were like, it got serious. We were talking about how games are art.
Yeah, I mean, it no longer was a laugh a minute. It was, if you're not smart enough, get out of here. That's what it became. And we kicked everybody out of there at that point because nobody was smart enough to digest what we were talking about. Even me, I kicked myself out of the room. I was the dumb one of the three. All right, so we'll be back next week, or not. Who knows? Might be dead by then. Rest in peace, Mandela. But especially you, Paul Walker. May flights of angels sing thee to thy rest. And whoever the third is going to be.
Wait, there's four. There was Chris Welch and...
Oh, shit!
Danny Wells or whatever his name is.
Well, that means we started the cycle again. Somebody should have rang the bell and went...
We're the next two!
This is disastrous information to learn just now. There will be no episode 14. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. The time we've spent together, I cherish it slightly.
Dumb games.